Matthew's Gospel 1. We're still on the inward witness and the leading of the Spirit. The inward witness, taking specific decisions. You know, that there are things, some subjects a Christian must, you know, be accustomed to. He must be aware. This is one of such subjects. They are core. A Christian must know how to use his faith, how to believe God's word and all that. A Christian must know how he's led by the Spirit of God. Because you see, and particularly now that we are in an information era, where, in fact, some people are called social media influencers. And their job is very simple. Their job is push an opinion, change the narrative. And there's nothing evil about it, because there's a project that I was involved with as well. And we're having a strategy meeting. And everybody was like, we need to get, and I was smiling as they were saying it, because I adopted it anyway. And I was chairing the meeting. So, and they said, we need to get a social media influencer. And they said, so we're trying to look at the strategy. They said, all they will do is that we're going to do this and do this. And at the end of the day, people's opinions, you know, will be swayed. And the truth is, we got it. But, a Christian cannot afford to be gotten that way. And I said to myself, this can actually apply in any other thing. Because we just sat down and strategized how to make you think in a particular way. And we got the right guys, so let's get the song. No, actually, we didn't eventually get the person we wanted to get, because this fellow was meant to be the watch out for your following on Facebook and Instagram, TikTok. What's TikTok? I think it's TikTok. TikTok says the clock. I know what it is. I don't think I didn't know. TikTok, Snapchat, you know, all those things. I mean, the world is going really serious. And they said, this guy has following, he has following. He said, this person has following, let's do this one. That all he needs to do is to just talk. If he talks, everybody's going to come in that direction. So I sat back as we were doing the strategy meeting, and the truth is, it worked. And I said, you can actually lead Christians this way. And because the thing is, you just have to think in a particular way. And just like we sat down and we strategized, I'm sure some other guys will sit down the same way and say, let us diminish the churches. And they'll use the same strategy. Let us do this about a business. Let us about this person. And they get the job done. And, you know, we also have, disrespect, but a lot of young people are a little bit so impressionable that they act, then they think, what did I just do? So it's not unlikely that they've influenced you so much, you've done what you do, then you look back and say, what did I just do? So in this kind of era, where, I was saying this joke, it's a joke, I said, now Pastor W.F. Kumi, in the 80s, used to call the television, the devil's box. And I guess many people misunderstood what he was saying then. But the point was, the kind of influence the television had, for example, I just watched something and I decided to change my haircut. It's just that simple. Change my haircut. I remember one advertisement I saw on Sporting Waves. You know Sporting Waves? And I'm a Christian, born again, trying to get to heaven. But imagine what I was struggling with, Sporting Waves. I'm saying, Lord, take this desire from my heart, O Lord. Well, because I was watching it on television, you know. And when I was growing up, still growing, our television time was between 4 and 11:59, never 12 midnight. So that's about 8 hours of that's all. And later on, there was now weekend television. You think I'm playing ill song? That's it. So you had just about 8 hours to, and of 8 hours you do your assignments by, that depends on who is at home. By 7 o'clock, you know, and all of that. So there was little, not too much to battle. Of course, don't let anybody try to tell you that this new generation, they are different. Somebody's, it's not true. It's not true. I remember one of our class head meetings and no one was saying, what did you do in form one? You're now trying to become harsh. Should we tell the world, and some of them were pastors, say, should we show you your old man? He's crucified, but we have the grave site. Sometimes it can be very hypocritical. So there's a lot of information, you battle that every day and stuff like that. Now, you know, and then it was easy to say, do not be unequal yoke together with unbelievers. And all you need to do is avoid an unbeliever. It's coming from here, I say, in Jesus' name. You know, that's the easiest way. But now, the unbeliever has unfettered access to you. So, now evil communication is, that corrupt good manners is in the air. It's not, you don't have to visit anybody's house or visit you, no. I mean, you know, all of that. So, which means that, and all those things seek to influence you. Okay? To influence your thinking and your decisions and all of that. So, if there's any subject you should know, okay, and master, because you can't really master it as such, but I mean, you know, regularly feed on it, is this subject of, you know, knowing God's purpose and plans and being led by the Spirit of God. You really need to. And if you're a pastor, which we all are potential at one point or the other, something, that's an area you really, really need to understand. You have to be led by the Spirit of God and know that you are, you know, there's something about knowing that you are led. You know, you can say, I'll be led. I'm born of God. Sons of God don't ask for leading. They are led. I have heard that part. But knowing that you are led, that I know that what I'm doing, I am led by the Spirit of God, is very important. Knowing that you are led by the Spirit of God is important. Hallelujah. So that's the essence of this study. Matthew's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 1. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we did on Sunday say this, so I'm going to go back to there. The book of the generations there, the word genosos in the Greek, G-E-N-O-U-S-I-S, something like that, is a direct quote of from Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. Genesis 5, 1. It says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Now, if you are in Matthew's audience obviously had the Old Testament books to read, and they will know that Matthew is writing an account of Jesus like Moses or any of the Bible writers wrote the account of Adam. So, which means that my audience is reading Genesis. Again, a book of the generations is a book of Genesis, okay? That word, is, you have genealogy. Genesis relates with the beginning. Hallelujah. All right? That's the first hint there. Now, in Mark's Gospel and chapter 1, so the question we have asked is whether four Gospels meant to be eyewitness. We said no. They are not just stories to bypass. The four Gospels are not eyewitness. Eyewitness was used as a medium to teach God's word. So, the same way we say all scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, 2 Timothy 3:16, it means that this is profitable for doctrine, didaskale, which brings in the concept of systematic teaching or theology. Doctrine, reproof to convince, correction, instruction in righteousness, spiritual growth. So which means that the four Gospels has the usefulness, the advantage of being taught. So it should be taught. Right? And the teaching is meant to give you conviction, right? 2 Timothy 3:16. Correction, epanathosis in the Greek, which is to reset something. Then instruction in righteousness, which is spiritual growth. So therefore, the writers of sin of this have that kind of intention. They are explaining the Old Testament books, Mark's Gospel 1:1, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word arche, again, A-R-C-H-E, which is the Greek rendering of Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:1 is, if you read Genesis 1:1 in the Greek Bible, the Septuagint, right, what you're going to find in Genesis 1:1 in the beginning will be the Greek word here, arche. Again, it means Mark expects his audience to read the four Gospels alongside Genesis. Now, in this instance, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Arche. Now, Luke's Gospel. Luke's Gospel chapter 1. Now, in Luke's instance, in the case of Luke, he's writing. Now, we call it synoptic because they are writing from the same material, okay? So, Mark is the first one, which is supposed to be Peter's account. Peter's account rendered through Mark. Then Matthew follows, then Luke. So Luke gives you source evidence here. He says, first much verse 1, as many have taken the hand to set forth in order, the declaration of those things which are most assured believe amongst us, even as he delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Now, if you notice that word from the beginning there, Luke explains what he meant. If you go to Acts 1, we said it over and over again, that Luke is the A part of the B part that is in the book of Acts. So in Acts 1, Luke tells us that when the apostles, Peter precisely now, wanted to choose amongst the 12 or 11, wanted to choose a replacement for Judas, he said, which was with us from the beginning, okay, and went in amongst us, and was an eyewitness of his resurrection. So that is what Luke is referring to here, that I got this information from those who could qualify for the apostles of Jesus or those who were the associates. Now, I use the word associates because he definitely spoke with Mary. And he had a lot of Mary content. And he had a very loud mention of Mary a lot, whether Luke's Gospel 2, Luke's Gospel 1, the conception, Luke's Gospel 2, when they were at the temple, and Acts 1, 14, 15, he was amongst the disciples. So you see that Mary was a feature in his writing. However, in Luke's Gospel 24, and then verse 25, he says here, O fools and slothful, to be all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. And beginning, so he has the beginning concept, Luke 24, 25, 27. At Moses and all the prophets expound to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. RK features there again. So we have three Genesis words. Matthew 1:1, Genesis 5:1 is rendered. Then, and definitely Genesis 5:1 will be backed up, as it were, as the background of Genesis 1:1. Okay? So Mark 1:1 has Genesis 1:1, RK. And Luke definitely, by chapter 24 verse 27, also has the Genesis factor. Now you have John 1:1. Now John 1:1 is different from, John's writing here, eyewitness, is different from the three because he doesn't follow their pattern. He showcases very unique miracles, emphasis, teaching, examples, and then, you know, different experiences. Very unique. The John 8 story is unique. Lazarus raised from the dead is unique. Jesus meeting Mary Magdalene, John 20 is unique. He's speaking to Peter, and John 21 is unique. The Great Commission he gives them in John 20, 21, 22, 23 is very unique to John. The turning of water to wine is unique to him. The doctrine in John 6, five loaves and two fish is unique. The healing of the blind man and the paralytic in John 5 and John 9 are very unique to John. Very unique to John. Conversation with Nicodemus in John 3 is unique to John. The woman at the well, John 4 is unique to John. The woman who was caught in adultery, John 8 is unique to John. So all those things are unique with John. The conversation about the paraclete, John 14 through to 16, is unique to John. The prayer of John 17 is unique to John. So it's totally different. Alright? It has a few features that shows that they are dealing with the same issues, but the writing is very different. We've done this study before. So John says in John 1:1, in the beginning, the word RK comes up again. Was the word, then he uses the word. Now on Sunday I did go over this again, that you have people argue that John is writing from a Greek background, the word logos, which is from the man invented, or let's say popularized by the man Heraclitus, which has to do with the subject matter and it deals with an idea, a thought, a belief system. But this is not true. Inasmuch as, yes, that plays a part in language communication, John is writing from the Hebrew Bible, which has a Greek rendering. Now, I'll give you a simple instance. In John 5, Jesus is talking. He says, you search the scriptures in 4:39, for in them you think you have eternal life. There they will testify of me, you will not come to me that you may have life. Then in 45, think not I've come to accuse you to the Father. There's one who does that already. He says, it's Moses, in whom you trust. He says, you don't believe me because you never believed him because he wrote about me. If you don't believe his writings, how do you believe my words? So Jesus, therefore, in his commentary, lets us know that his audience read Genesis, obviously through Malachi. So that means by using the word word became flesh, rather than logos, leaning to the word logos, the Hebrew is dabar. The word of the Lord. Again, a Genesis fact. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord is God's personal encounter with Abraham in Genesis 15, 1 and 2. The word of the Lord appeared to Abraham in a vision. Again, verse 5 and 6. And we see the word of the Lord also appearing to Samuel. Samuel goes to his mentor father, Eli, three times. The third time he lies down and he sees the word of the Lord stand. The word of the Lord stands and speaks to him. And that shows the word of the Lord is not a statement, it's a personal experience. Same thing with Jeremiah. He goes, Jeremiah touches his hand, his lips and his ears. And so the word of the Lord is an encounter people have with God. So John is saying the word now of Genesis has become a human being. John 1:14. So rather than the word logos, is more of the word dabar. However, in the Greek, the closest word will be logos. Now, what's the essence here? The essence here is the writers of the synoptic, including John, the four gospels, are taking their theology from the book of Genesis. Because in their style of writing, they open their books with Genesis. So Genesis is not just a historical factor, it is theology. Now, I'm going to go into a few things I said on Sunday that will drive it home in a moment. And we said, in the Hebrew, okay, the word Genesis 1, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the, so I said that, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So we said, now you're going to go very quick here because I'm going to move quickly on this. The word there is Bereshith in the Hebrew, B-A-R-E-S-H-I-T-H, or Reshith. And we said Bereshith is used more for a restart. Now, that's easy to see in Genesis 49, verse 3. A restart or to take something or a new beginning is not something without a past. In Genesis 10:10, the beginning of a kingdom. The kingdom didn't just appear from the blues. There was a man called Nimrod. He's powerful, has all that, and he's already, you know, exercising authority. Then he starts a kingdom, which means he begins something with something. Genesis 10:10. In Genesis 49:3, we find Jacob say, "Reuben, you are the beginning of my strength." Then he calls him firstborn, because the word Bereshith means first fruit, new start, firstborn. Okay? And we have that word, you know, in Leviticus and Exodus and all that. So it's a new beginning. And the reason is not so far-fetched, because it shows that what you are beginning with already is in chaos. In verse 2, the earth was without form and void. And we said the word earth, from the word eretz in the Hebrew, is used a lot of times for persons, right? Persons or what people are doing. The earth was without form and void is not material creation, because Moses or whoever is doing the writing here is not doing a scientific study. So the word earth, and we saw a few of that, I'm just repeating some things I said on Sunday, Genesis 4:14, where you have Cain was banished from the earth and is still alive in the earth. So it's about people, right? It's about people and activities. And we also saw Genesis chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, 11 and 12, where the earth referred there to people. Okay? Genesis 12:3, you shall the families of the earth. So we said the word earth relates with people activities. So New Testament Greek comes up with two words that explains it, the word cosmos and the word anion. Cosmos is C-O-S-M-O-S, which is the setup of things, right, where inhabited areas. Then you also have the word anion, activities, time, space, and events that go on. So therefore, without doubt in our studies, we found out that Genesis 1, 1 and 2 is an Exodus story, okay? It's an Exodus story. And the moment you mention Exodus, it means at least these three things will be your motif or themes. Redemption, inheritance, kingdom. You can add the following words to forgiveness, deliverance, sanctification. Forgiveness, deliverance, sanctification. Redemption, inheritance, kingdom, forgiveness, deliverance, sanctification. Now, let's bring it home now. So Jesus, therefore, by the synoptic writers, including John, using Genesis as a narration of Jesus, they are saying to you both deliberately, or deliberately, and they are saying that Jesus is a restart. In Jesus is a restart, and it flows. Notice that all the shades of the word Bereshit are referred to Jesus by New Testament writers. One of them is firstborn. Alright? Paul calls him, Romans 8:29, the firstborn among many brethren. Prototokos. Prototokos is a synonym of Bereshit. In Colossians 1:15, he calls him again the firstborn. The image of the invisible sort of God, the firstborn of every creature. He calls him in Colossians 1, verse 18, the beginning of God's creation, the head of the church. So all those words relate with Jesus eventually. Right? So which means that Genesis 1 is God commencing new creation of a people, and Jesus is the head of it, the image of it. Okay? First Corinthians 15 again, 23 and 24, he calls him the first fruit of those who are raised from the dead. So Jesus is, you have first fruit, first born, new beginning, head, all those things are related with Jesus. He's also called Redeemer. Redeemer is Genesis Exodus. Because in Genesis 48, 15 and 16, Jacob calls the angel of Yahweh, who is Jesus, he calls him Redeemer. He redeemed me, God. And the same things in Genesis, so Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 to 8. And kingdom. So which means, in Jesus, we're going to read God's restart. Or let's put it like this, is new beginning in the midst of chaos. And this is just for your personal study. You recall that when John the Baptist was born, way before that, let's just do a few references. When John was born, his dad, Zechariah, said, this is God visiting Exodus, redeeming Exodus. He gives John, Luke 1, from verse 67 through to 75, 78, 79, he gives John a forerunner of a redemption story. Okay? And that's Exodus. That's what he calls Jesus. And Mark says, which was spoken by the prophet, I have a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Wilderness is Exodus straight away. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make paths straight. Make straight, sorry, his paths. He goes to Isaiah 40 verse 3, Malachi 3 verse 1. So, which means, whoever is writing here, Mark or Matthew, they're telling us to go back and read it. That you are reading a story that has happened before. If I'm going back, okay, this has happened before. Okay? So, that's who Jesus is. It's a new beginning. He brings in an Exodus. Exodus simply means God is calling out the people. We're going to see that in a moment. For a function, a purpose, to reclaim the earth, to bring order, rest into the earth. That's what's going on. So we're looking at leading of the Spirit, and as we have studied so far, the leading of the Spirit is an Exodus word. It's a redemption word, right? It's a new creation word. So, just run through this, I must have mentioned the other day. We'll find this, again, we've said that the context of Scripture is a supernatural world context. So even though, just like Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 2, through faith we understand, verse 3, that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Now, pay attention to this. That the things that were seen were not made of things that do appear. Which means that we'll read a story, but there's a supernatural world context to it. Hebrews 11, verse 3. So which means there is a supernatural element to the events. So in Genesis, we have Genesis 1, 3, the Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. Genesis 3, 8, the Lord God walked in the cool of the day. What cool there is the same word Spirit. Genesis 6, 2, 3, precisely, my Spirit shall no longer strive with man. In Exodus, therefore, we see the Spirit leading the nation out. Leading the nation out, and then we see that in Deuteronomy explained, Deuteronomy 32, verse 8 and 9. We see the Spirit also in Leviticus. Leviticus is about service, holiness. So when Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6:11. Such were some of you, but you are washed. That's Leviticus. Washings. You are sanctified. That's Leviticus. You are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That is reading the entire Leviticus for you. Because Leviticus 11, let's go there quickly. Leviticus 11. And 44. I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. For I am the Lord that brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall be holy, for I am holy. Then he says in 47. The reason is to make a difference. And that word is the word separation used in Genesis 1, 4 and 5. He separated the light from the darkness, the Hebrew word badar. Why? Because God calls us out so that we can be different. So when Paul writes 1 Corinthians 6:11, he gives you a Leviticus background to that. And he says it is the work of the Spirit. Now, but I saw washings. Yeah, washings. Just like Jesus used water for the work of the Spirit. John 3, verse 3 to 5, born of the water, which is the Spirit. John 4, 10 and 13 and 14, the water I give shall be a wellspring of water to everlasting life. John 7, 37 to 38, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I will see him use the word water for the work of the Spirit. Titus 3, 5 and 6, same thing. So you have water of Leviticus is the Spirit. Sanctified by the Spirit. You're led out by the Exodus, in the Exodus by the Spirit. Then we now have Numbers. Numbers has the tests and trials. Tests and trials. Numbers has a lot of tests and trials, temptations, a lot of temptations for bitterness, anger, idol worship. Numbers is filled with numbers. You have it in Numbers. Idol worship, sexual immorality, rebellion, it's all in Numbers. But the writers, later interpreters, like David, Psalm 95, Psalm 95, says in verse 7, today if you hear his voice, that's going to go on later on, if you hear his voice, and he's talking about the same numbers, then Hebrews 3, watch how the writer of Hebrews says it. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you hear his voice. So which means that what they yielded not to, or what they refused to yield to in numbers, is the voice of the Holy Ghost. So the test and trials of numbers are tests and trials against the work of the Spirit. Of course, eventually, we have Deuteronomy, which is a renewed covenant. God renews things by His Spirit. We'll have a look at that later. Well, we have Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you. I'll take your soul out of your flesh, I'll give you a heart of flesh, I'll put my spirit within you. And I'll cause you to walk in my sins and judgment, you shall do them. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. And by the time you read that with Deuteronomy 30, verse 6 and 7, 11 to 14, 14 you see the work of the Spirit. So it means that the writers of the New Testament, as we call it, they were taking their narratives from these books. Oh, we're redeemed by the work of the Spirit. Genesis, Exodus. We're washed, sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Leviticus. And then we see the work of the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, you don't fulfill the laws of the flesh. Numbers. God's new creation, Deuteronomy. That's how they read it. Because that's where they are teaching from. 1 Peter 1, learning something? And verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lusts in your ignorance, but as he said, the called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. That's where they taught holiness from. Leviticus. And when we add this as well, Leviticus is also about service. It's about service. Right? It's about service, including the Day of Atonement. It's about service. So let's get back to this. So that means the synoptic writers, what they intend to do is to read, you know, I told you that the word seed, let me look up so you get this. When you see the word seed in Genesis, Zerah, it is used for an individual, then a collective term. So one person can be one nation, and one nation can be found in one person. What's the essence of that? The story of Jesus can be read as the story of Israel, and vice versa. So if he says, I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill, is fulfilling the law and the prophets given to the nation of Israel. And Israel, do not forget, is a vehicle of God's blessing. When there's rebellion in the nations, God starts again in Abraham, Genesis 12, 1 to 3, and that becomes Israel. So, Jesus is that redemption seed that sanctification seed, that Exodus seed as one person, but again, it's a collective terminology for people. Does it make sense? All right. So, which means, if our study today is on the leading of the Spirit, no New Testament writer will teach leading of the Spirit from Kenneth Hagin's book. Amen. It will be taught from Moses and the prophets. Are you getting this? Aha. So it has to be, I remember someone mentioned this, one of the we get to review our books. We do both reviewing, which is commentaries, and we do peer review. So, I think it was one of the peer reviews that said that when we taught the leading of the Spirit, following God's plan for your nation, city, church, and all that, and your life, and said that, you know, the ability to read it as outside human experiences made it very theological. That is, the leading of the Spirit is not something invented by Paul or Kenneth Hagin. Or, no, I'm saying Kenneth Hagin because I told you I read Kenneth Hagin, right? Leading of the Spirit is a biblical word for God's plan through Israel. That's what it is. So it is never about you, it's about God's plan. If you read Exodus very well, 6 precisely, from verse 3 to, I am Yahweh. By my name, Yahweh was unknown to your fathers, but by name El Shaddai, but I am the Lord. I read through verse 8 and 9, and you see that all God did, whether he rescued them, whether he sanctified them, he called them, is for his glory. So that's why we said, the leading of the Spirit is not to fulfill, like saying, God, you want to get something done. You know, I pray about it, and say, let me try and see how we say that charismatic. Is it your will, Lord? That's a bit complicated because you're about to do something, then he has his will. But the first thing is that you can first of all know what his will is. If you observe in this series, we said categorically that there is a written word. Remember that? Was it this series? Well, we looked at the bones of Joseph. This series? The bones of Joseph, written word. So, which means, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there was a record. Now, which means the voice of God will not depart from the promise he made. But, no, there's no but. However, it will assist the beneficiary at that point in his own world. So, which means the leading of the Spirit, which is experiential, is meant to help you and I act on the Word. It's not a different experience from the Word. Right? We'll get to that. Try and bring that in. So, the word leading or led by God or led by the Spirit can only be understood primarily by reading where God led people. Okay? You notice that whether the Romans 8:14 or Galatians 4, which is a bit cryptic of Romans 8 anyway, 4 verse 4 through to 8, or Galatians 5:16 to 18, the leading of the Spirit there was not personal. The leading of the Spirit there was a collective word for all believers. As many as are led. They are. As many as are led. We have not received collective term. So the leading of the Spirit, therefore, is for a universal purpose. It is for a universal purpose. Which means, the leading of the Spirit for me also involves you. And also involves you, which means where you find a believer, for example, not yielding to that leading, let me use that phrase, it also involves other believers. It's going to affect other believers. We'll break that down as we proceed. So the leading of the Spirit is a collective term. Don't forget that. So Jesus in the four Gospels is the embodiment of the nation of Israel. He brings to fulfillment God's plan through Israel. So in Luke 4:1, there is something. Same as Matthew 4:1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Was led by the Spirit. Now, if you've looked at our background study of this, we've seen that it's referencing to Deuteronomy, the three texts. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3, which he referenced in Luke 4:8. Then Deuteronomy 6 verse 13. Luke 4, 4, Deuteronomy 8, 3. Then Deuteronomy 4, 8, Luke 6, 13. Deuteronomy 6, 13, Luke 4, 8. Then, verse 12, Luke 4, where he references Deuteronomy 6, 16. By those references, he's saying to you, I am Israel. Because that is his, you know, we call it the pilot text. That is the pilot text. A pilot text, which is part of a codified language, takes you to the story and it takes you to go back and reread it. Now, let's see one critical one there. Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're there the other time. Verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. Notice about possessing the land. It's about possessing the land. Verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee, follow this, these 40 years. Okay? In the wilderness to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether thou would keep his commandments or no. Look at the word, in the wilderness. He humbled you, suffered you to hunger and fed you with manna. Thou knewest not, neither did your fathers know, that he might make thee know that that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. Then I want you to look at verse 5. Thou shalt also consider in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord thy God chastens. I'm going to look at this on Sunday, but this is about to correct and guide. Then it says, therefore shall Lord keep the covenant of the Lord the God to walk in his ways and to fear him. So the leading of the Spirit is to walk in his ways. So this is Matthew and Luke's rendering of the temptation of Jesus. So they use the word wilderness. In the Greek, Luke 4:1, is the word eremos, E-R-E-M-O-S. Now, if you know that quickly, the word eremos, which is wilderness, is Old Testament phrase. Now, where do we find wilderness? Quickly, Genesis. Sorry, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 9. For Lot's portion is his people, Jacob is the Lord of his inheritance. He found him where? Are you there? In the desert, same thing. And in the waste, howling wilderness. Waste. Tohu. Synonym of tohu. He led him about, instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Then he says in verse 11, as an eagle stirs up the nest, flutters over our young, spreads abroad our wings, take them and bears them on our wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there is no strange God with him. So you see that this is what is being pictured in Jesus. So the wilderness here will be chaos, disorder. And Jeremiah 4, before that, okay, Jeremiah first, Jeremiah 4 and 22. People is foolish, they have not known me, they are Scottish children, and have no understanding, they are wise to do evil, to do good, they have no knowledge. They say, I beheld the earth, pay attention here. He says, and it was without form and void, the heavens, and they had no light. Light, 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 light. I beheld the mountains, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. I beheld, and the fruitful place was a wilderness. So, wilderness comes up again. Ezekiel 36, the indwelling of the Spirit. Ezekiel says here, in verse 34, desolate land shall be tilled, where it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by, and they shall say that this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. So, which means wilderness, desolate, means a place without the Spirit. That's what it means. So you can replace the word wilderness with the world, or the spirit of this world. So put this down quickly. So the leading of the Spirit is contrary to the spirit of these worlds. Now the word eremos is used in New Testament Greek 48 times. It means an abandoned place. Abandoned place. Right? Where a place is not inhabited. Now, I'll pick out some specific areas in New Testament Greek for this purpose. So we'll go quickly to another part of the teaching. In Acts 1:20, it referred to an abandoned function of Judas. His habitation is desolate, talking about his office. Acts 1:20. In Acts 7:30, it's historical and 36. But in Acts 7:38, the book of Acts, is used for the spirit that led the church in the wilderness. Acts 7:42. Now in 1 Corinthians 10:5, put this down, many of them perish in the wilderness. And Paul is writing a cryptic message about the world. Hebrews 3:8 and Hebrews 3:17, the rest God gave them out of the wilderness. So which means the world that Matthew and Luke are writing about, the wilderness is the world. He's led by the Spirit in the world. The Spirit of this world. Alright? And if we have followed our studies on this, we have studied this to see, and clearly so, that the temptation of Jesus included men's activities. So being led by the Spirit is God guiding you and I, both in His Word and personally in the midst of the chaos of this world. That is what it is. In Ephesians chapter 2, so put this down, it's a part and parcel of your Christian walk. Ephesians 2, I want us to watch this, read this together. Making sense. I want us to read it together now. Ephesians 2, 2 through to 3. You there? Are we? Are you there now? Let's go. Where in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. So it presents a case to you. This is a wilderness for us without the Spirit of God. So when we find a man without the Spirit is a wilderness, is not inhabited by God. When we find a place, people, activities, it is a wilderness. So therefore, to understand the leading of the Spirit, we have to see that it is God's eye on us in this world. Jesus in John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Alright? He that follows me will not walk in darkness. Is that Genesis? But shall have the light of life. That's Genesis interactions. So, which means, God calls us out of this world by the leading of His Spirit. By the leading of His Spirit. So we have a world, write this down quickly, that is led by emotions, feelings, promptings, instincts. Like I said at the beginning of the teaching, social media influencers. You know, I was talking this with the pastors, we're having this meeting, and I said, you know, there was this story, this is just important to share this. There was this fellow like that, you know. Now my friend, I'll break the story around well. You know, we got a hold of the word that we were from a conservative Christian background, where, I'm not sure I could have worn this to church. You know, I'm not sure, but, you know, we're very conservative and, you know, we try to appear as heavenly conscious as possible. But, you know, we got a hold of the word and we're like, oh, really, it doesn't matter. I remember, what's his name again? Is he Kule Salami now? He showed me something in a scripture one time in Colossians 2, and he says, taste not, thought not, and I was so excited. Because what happened was I heard a preacher, Reverend Adanson Aruma Igbe, and he preached in a faith seminar. And that seminar was, you know, off the hook. And I felt, wow. But his haircut was somehow. But I just looked away from the haircut and I just received the word. But it was still bothering me. So I said, bro, the man, I don't know, his hairstyles, somehow. He said, no. So he showed me, taste not, touch not, and that nothing to do with hairstyle. But I heard what I wanted to hear. I said, yeah. So we moved from that point, you know, we moved from conservative Christian dancing, just moving like this. Then we move to the other side. You know, one of the things that are most difficult for most of us is a balance. We now go to the other extreme. Remember one time like that, the opening Stone Church in Ibadan. It was 1993. And myself and my friends just went there because they said it was going to be all praise party. And we danced. We danced and we almost fell sick. I said, what happened to us? There was this license, not given by the church, but we gave it to ourselves. So then we started saying, well, we have to reach people. We cannot be, you know. And so I remember TJ then, we had this outreach at Ife then. So he wore bandana and he wore earrings, studs, sorry. So it was to preach the word. And it was so cool because as the So as he was preaching, you know, he gave me word of knowledge, word of wisdom. So out of that, some of the guys came and said they wanted to reach people. That they were going to reach people, that so they have to do stuff, you know, to show that they are reaching the world. And so guys that were conservative before, you know, started doing stuff on their hair and wear tattoos. Say why? Say so that we can. For a major scripture, then what Paul says to the weak, I became as weak. Okay. So, one of those guys who was trying to become weak, he now started smoking. You know, so I was telling them this, we're having a meeting, I said, now, you now find, I'm trying to be very discreet here, because I don't want to say something and to look like I threw a stone to someone, but if it's a stone, it's not deliberate, it must have been, friendly fire. So, I got it, okay. You now see folks and they're like, oh, you know, we have to reach this generation. And because we want to reach generation, and now say, let me be like this generation. So you have folks now, they now wear new air cords, they now do these things, and they say, well, we also reach this generation. And I'm like, just confess. That worldliness has not left your mind. You don't need that to reach this generation. people are reaching. I don't think people listen to you because you put tattoo on. You say, oh, I'm not going to listen to you. I say tattoo. Oh, okay. Come and preach to me. That's not true. How does anybody says, anybody walks into the service and says, let me see whether this pastor, whether he has brains on his head. Does he have brains? I can't hear what he's preaching. No. You know, it's just licentiousness. And you know, the truth is, oh, that's, you know, we're just trying to, there's liberty. No. There is the world. And the Bible identifies as the world. And the world is led by instincts, emotions, influence. I just told you about social media influences that I did myself. We're going to get an idea across, and we got people that were going to just, I don't want to call it brainwashing, but the narrative in one way or the other, which is what advertising does. Sorry if you're an advert person here, but you know what you do. You tell us that, I was talking to a business partner this morning, and we were trying to talk, and he says, Michelle, what I'm trying to say is that when we finish that packaging, people will not even check, they will just pay for it. Don't say, don't do that as a Christian. They will package, he said, there's this guy who can walk, and he said, I'm just flowing with it. Amen. But you see, same way, you won't know that's what's happening to you. They just tell the guide you. You'll say, huh? That's like some guys who just watch a movie or watch something, and then as you get into the house, their countenance just change. Good morning. Morning. You just watch something, and it's been influenced. Luckily. So if you're a Christian, you say, you're growing spiritually. You can't say you're growing spiritual because you now have a bigger haircut or you've shaved your hair. That's not spiritual growth. That's a change of your hairstyle. That's what it is. Don't say now, someone said to me, say now, I don't do all those physical church again. Because I now have more light. I was looking at him. Say, I'm not saying anything. Nothing yet. So when we now started talking, I said, you need physical church. I said, because in the spiritual, you are lost. This time it's the physical that will rescue the spiritual. You know, so we all know that this is, see, these areas are the things we say are being led by the Spirit of God. Which means that being led by the Spirit of God is God's eye on me in the midst of chaos. So that I know I am being led by the Spirit of God. I'm being led by the Spirit of God. So we need to find out. Now, Ephesians already told us what the wilderness is about. Lust, right? Instincts. The whole world is going in one direction. Okay? And that's why the church itself has to, you know, come out of such things. Sometimes the church can get so influenced. And, and you say, well, let's make church look like, you know, you find someone. I think I said this last Sunday. Was this Wednesday when I spoke about one brother who saw, we're going to do a book, tell the world. Was it this service? Huh? Sunday. Was it Sunday? Wednesday service? Oh, the training meeting. Huh? Where I said the brother told us to use women as sex objects. Huh? Oh, self-just training. Oh, okay. Sorry, because you all look alike. And the brother told us, he said, well, I was telling the world, the first edition we had then. And the brother said, Pastor, I'm just thinking we should put women. He said, why? Because they're going to attract people. For a church book. He said, no, women, I know, because of the sex appeal. This brother, we fast and pray together. We go for evangelism together. We do Holy Ghost meeting, but my. Oh, my. Oh, my. His mind was not revealed. There's been unrenewed mind, there's unrevealed mind. And you know, I say, let's know, this church, look at this place, is too dull. Let's have some, let's go. So the pastor is putting out smoke. He say, get ready for the word. And it's the world in the church. Let's just get the music. The music, what kind of music do you play? This music is, you know, some people harassed me when I was early in ministry. They said, nobody will hear this, your teaching. You know, one of our churches, someone went there, a newcomer. He went to see the pastor in America. He said, I can see you are really teaching the word. And you are doing, you are doing Bible study and you are really out for the word. But do you really want to grow? He said, because if you really want to grow, let's go and meet somebody. They will show you this one. Nobody's going to hear all this preaching. Nobody wants to hear preaching in this country. Now, it all is making sense. But that's the devil. That's how the devil influences believers. And they told us, and they say, you're going to do, someone said, your outreach to secondary school. What are you adding to it? I said, how? He said, I know you're going to preach and all that, but are you not adding anything? He said, like what? Like, career talk, HIV, said all those things, you have to add it. I remember Pastor Tim, a friend of mine in South Africa. Someone came to me and said, I saw Pastor Shegu's people at this school that is near Agnes. What's the school? Is it Our Lady or something? Huh? It's female, all girls school. I don't know what I said, like Tower of Babel. Huh? Our Lady of Apostles. Is that the school? So he said, someone came to me and said, I saw his church members, or his ministry members, said they were doing HIV talks. Said, who? He said, not him. He said, no, I recognize that. I know him. He's not him. Because he had harassed me earlier. How are you going to do this? So, all your worship is just going to be raising hands? And all these Holy Ghost. So people are going to be bought. One guy came to me. I was pastoring in Ibadan, then I was on place in Ibadan. 1998. He said, sir, I'm enjoying this worship. This worship is, as you can see, spirit filled. He said, but, is it every time spirit filled? He said, I want this kind of worship, I can remove my shirt. And sweat. You know, I said, you know, I'm just saying this, there are other people in the congregation that are feeling that way. But they won't tell you. You know, and you don't know that's the world. That's the world. I was talking to a friend today, and they were saying, why would the politicians, they will be giving people money to attend their, is it crusade now? Whatever. I said, don't churches do it. You pack jollof rice. I'm going to come to church. It's the same thing. Come. Lunch will be served. Everything is so much infrastructure. But that is what it is. When you tell people, come to our church, we'll get you a job. A politician. Because you can't give everybody a job, you know. Is it though? Can you give everybody a job? Even in this world, people that will come to me, I will help them. I will pray together. Somebody wanted to start business. He said, he doesn't have money. I said, grow a business plan. He drew 18 million. I said, your whole faith is not moving mountains. It's moving nations. 18 million. And he wrote it. He typed it out very well. He went to business center to type. $18 million proposal in a business center. All things are possible to him that believes. What God does not do cannot exist. Let me release my faith. Let me join my faith with your own. No, you see, this thing. I remember somebody telling my friend, Pastor Joe, look, look, wait, when I was in school, he said, check him. When people come with him, they believe like that. Don't let them say you are a doubter. Just say, I believe God with you. So I learned that thing from school. I said, so Shegu, don't, people don't like the truth. Don't say, I believe God. He said, if it works out, it's good for you. If it doesn't work out, you know you both believe God. So 18 million? I won't forget it. Maybe the person is even looking at me. I said, Pastor, sorry. So, you know, hey, it's the same thing. You come to church. You go, you can, if you give you free employment. It's the same. That's what politicians do. You attract people. And you can't give it to everybody. Because if you are doing it for everybody, how come in the church? You say, believe God, let's pray for God to intervene. I thought you had intervened. See? Everything is the same. So the world is like that. So if you're a preacher, the same thing is going to come at you. Let's do this one. What if we add this one? What if we, you know, add such and do so? Doesn't matter. So even as a preacher, I say, what am I copying this from? Am I being led by the Spirit of God here? Is this the Spirit? So you have the things you are dealing with. The world is full of emotions. I'll teach this next week. How do I separate my emotions from leading of the Spirit? So emotions. Some people, they are hearing themselves. Someone told me, he said, he's being led to go abroad. I said, which country? He now started looking. I said, you don't get it. Which country? He said, it appears... He now mentioned the country. I said, that does not lead him. It's an opportunity for you. He said, okay, sir. So the thing did not work out. He came back and said, I'm going to this direction. I said, is that leading of the Spirit? He said, maybe I didn't get the first one right. Okay. So that one did not work out. He came back again. I said, look, it's your emotions. And your emotions can be... Some people, the reason why they are not traveling is fear too. I don't think God wants me to travel. It's fear. They're thinking, me alone. Some say, I don't think it's time to marry. Again, it's fear. So me, I'm one man. We live in the same house. Are you afraid? I'll come and know him the way I've never known him before. Epignosis. I'm praying about it. You see? So sometimes it's just your emotions. And it's not the leading of the Spirit. And some are saying it is the time to marry now. If you want to get that leading, Saturday, attend the wedding. Ideas up in your head. If you have a brother that you have been looking at and he has been looking at you, they are at the door, at the car park, or when I'm having a Holy Ghost meeting. I'll talk about that one later. There are things a pastor observes and he knows. He doesn't just talk about them. Okay? I say, and the boy goes, how are you now? After the wedding, just going to leave me, just text me, how are you today? Are you fine? How's your evangelism? I'm not in the same zone. I'm not saying, I'm just looking out for you. He just attended the wedding. And these days, you know, in those days, it was much more. We used to have brother train. That is no longer train. It's not very long. People will now queue from the door. They'll now be dancing. And as they are dancing, they're also eyeing themselves. It's our turn, no? Everybody's moving and moving. So those things in your head. Before you know, you just get to church on Sunday. Pastor is teaching the Exodus people. Taking Pastor is not connecting to our needs. Why is pastor not addressing the real issues? Mark 1 again. After Matthew 1. Okay, we know. We should read it. We'll study. So near me. I know it. I've written it. S-U-N and Nohima. I've written it. That's what the real issue. That's why I like that. It's a building healthy relationship. That's the capone little tea of it. You know the world. So, and we are all a product of influence. There's no way we all are a product of influence. There's none of us who learned how to dress by the study of God's word. If you wear, if you learn money from scripture, you just show up in church. And say, oh God, that means you learn it from God. Even those who are saying they are doing holiness, they didn't learn it from God's word. Beret is not from God. There's no beret in the Bible. Boy Scouts, Girls Brigade, beret. Those who wear long skirt, the brothers who start is escaping rope, it's not in the Bible. You know, there are some shoes I've been done how to start. If they, you know, the shoe, to move that shoe, all that one God in the shoe. It's not from God, though, it's from the world. There's no hairstyle that is from God. As I read scripture, I do this one. I saw that if you have my hair is cut off, how? To scrape your head is not God's word. You just did it. Okay? So I said, hey, Pastor, that's why I have a flow and I have bed gang. I'm coming for you. So, but then the thing is, you'll not be asking yourself, as a child of God, the leading of the Spirit of God, you know, in this world, how is God leading me? So this world is full of emotions, okay? We'll see a few things now, just for the purpose of today's teaching. I'll go pick it up from next week. Now, look at Israel. Exodus 32. One of the first traits, Exodus 32, where we walk in the flesh, is we just become hasty. Haste. Impatience. Alright? Immediate gratification. That means I can know I'm not led by the Spirit of God by seeing myself walk in the flesh. Haste, immediate gratification, impatience. Because God's dealings in the Old Testament is called the long-suffering of our God. So haste, impatience, immediate gratification. Look at Exodus 32. When the people saw, verse 1, that Moses delayed. Now, how do you say Moses delayed? Was there a timeline? Moses delayed. Don't forget, God is leading them. Are you following what I'm saying? Moses delayed. It's not my time. This is supposed to have happened. Says who? You know, I'll be asking people, who set the timetable you are following? And Moses delayed. There's a delay. And he says, the king didn't come down. Look at and said to Aaron, make us gods. We shall go before us. Make us idols, Elohims. We shall go before us. So every leading is spiritual. Make us who will go before us. Let someone else lead me. Someone told me years ago. Interesting when I talk about this, a marriage that comes up. And this is an acute minister of the gospel. Sat me down and said, Pastor, I know you have talked about the Holy Ghost. And I teach about the Holy Ghost. He said, but sir, I know the Holy Ghost is our comforter. It was 1996 or 7. I said, I'm looking for a comforter in the flesh. She first of all explained that comforter to me in scripture. She said, in the flesh. I said, okay. Have you found one? She said, yes. I want us to just pray about it. In the flesh. Yeah. Just delays. I know you also, let's do it now. This is what happened now. You know, I have a generation that is, people are in a hurry. Sometimes you are teaching God's word, someone says, it's equal to, just finish it. Someone was introducing me to a preacher last week and they said, the person comes for services. I said, sometimes pastor will do series, and he will repeat the same thing. So I said, pastor, we heard this last week. And I was looking at him. He was describing me. We heard this last week. I said, can't you just, if all you want us to do is to pray, just say from the onset, let us pray. By the time you find yourself in such impatience with your friend, your colleagues, your pastor, your flock, impatient with your spouse, something should lead me. Say, Moses delayed. I'm asking you, who gave them the timetable? But Moses delayed. I'm not supposed to be like this. I mean, you say, this is not supposed to be my life. It's not supposed to be, I'm more than this. He has gone to hear something. I'm more than this. It's not me. You know, there's one guy that told me this. He said, I want to start ministry, sir. So I know I have it. I said, have you prayed about it? He said, sir, before I met you, God had called me. I said, okay, I raised my hand. God had called me as a child. I remember then, one of our neighbors even said, this boy is very unique. I said, so I saw the guy some years ago. I said, how far with your childhood calling? Whether you start tomorrow or next week, you are going to face the same devils. And if you are not ready for devils, you become devilish. You know, I'll be saying, you were impatient. So here we are. He said, Moses delayed. So you will find, we said, all leadings are supernatural. Including social media influencing. Because he says, the spirit that now works, you see it, in the children of disobedience. God always leads us. But God leading you does not remove your will not to listen. God always leads you. Let me repeat that again. God always leads you. So, it's now my responsibility. You know, I'm looking at this. In what we did, I'm going to look at it on Wednesday next week. I will say, it's specific. I was going to give you instructions on this, but I will take it up next week. It's specific. God leads you. I will say that the real issue about being led of God is not getting results. It's not, after all, there are people today who have gotten the results of what they wanted to get, but they know in their heart that they are not fulfilled. Someone wrote one testimony and said this one. He was trying to justify that he had left one particular ministry, was another person. I wrote a long testimony and I called him. Because I knew the person very well. I said, you are writing this thing because you want to prove a point that you have not disobeyed God. He said, not really. I said, I know you. So I now said, let me remind you of this. Say yes. Say, but if that doesn't work out, God has a way of working things out. Did you add that in that testimony? You didn't write it now. You just wanted us to say, hey, this guy is doing well. I said, but you see, human beings are not a seal of approval. You are making a mistake. Human beings applauding you says nothing. Absolutely nothing. In fact, one of the things you have to watch as a Christian is human applause. Human applause. I remember as a younger preacher, I was offered a pastor, straight job, and was on a platter. We were going to give this one, give that one, and I said, from the onset, I said, I wasn't going to stay here. I took it on compassionate grounds for them. I said, I know I've said this story before. I'll give you more details as the years go. I said, well, so my friends were telling me, Shegu, you know, this is an opportunity. I think I even got a prophecy about it. So I just sense, you know, that this and this and this and this and this and this. And just the name of that church was similar to the name myself and a friend had named a ministry we were going to oversee years before. So it was flowing. But I knew in my heart, no, it wasn't. I was like, of course, not wrong, because I would have felt that way too. It was an opportunity for them to also come and speak, you know. So I told them, I said, by May this year, I'm going to leave this place. They said, no. Have you prayed about it? I said, I have. He said, when? I said, before I took it. If you are praying about it when you have seen the perks of office, that prayer will be yes. You are saying something. Like someone said, you say no weapon formed shall prosper. This weapon has already formed. It's going to prosper. I said no. So the thing was a joke. I didn't say it again. Not even what I tried to convince me. I didn't talk about it. The church leadership was still watching. I was teaching, having good times and all that. So I didn't say anything. I told them I was leaving May 20, 1998. The thing was, the ministry I was overseeing, they called the church. They were maybe barely half of the choir. So it was easy to say, this is the will of God. I said, no. They said, they almost said, you are going to be secret to the account. I said, don't worry. And to cut away from all the perks of the office, I said, nobody should use their car to drop me. So I'll come to the church and I'll come on Okada. And they will be looking at me like they are ashamed of my destiny. I'm like, doesn't matter. I was not called to do this thing. So, I didn't tell them why. I think it was 2 days ago. I said, you know, I'm handing over on Monday, on Sunday. They said, are you still on that matter? I said, you think I will change? I said, no. He said, what do we now do in the church? I said, whatever you like. I have told you why I came. And I have done what I should do. I am not your pastor. You know, it's good to say things like that. I'm not your pastor. No, you. Yeah. My friend said, you are too rigid about this matter. I said, about what? I'm not rigid. And so be it. I wasn't led. I knew I was not. It's as simple as that. And there are things like that that will come your way. It could be anything. But because you know, emotions are good. I remember one of the meetings I attended before I became their pastor. That day, you know. So, I was in the rain. I was really, you know, I remember even my transport fare was wet. They gave me fresh milk. And the kind of thing, I knew that I said, Jesus. Sir, you fine, sir. This one. They took my clothes dry, clean, brought it back. Hey, hey. You got my pastor talking to people. Yes, Lord! You know, speak, Lord, your servant has heard you. Lord, you hear it. He has heard you. I said, no. I remember what year was it. I think it was when we first came on KLM. 2016. So one old member of that church, he said, I've watched you. He said, then I was really wondering what was wrong with you. He said, now I see that you really know what you meant by being led by the Spirit of God. Don't go and get results that for some time. It's just for a time. And the devil has got you where he wants you. Because you follow the emotions. And it can go to anything. Emotions. There are relationships God will lead you to that there will be tests and trials, just like the wilderness. You always be like, this is not the will of God. You know, but particularly those of us who use comfort as the will of God. Sorry, not, if you are bearing comfort, not you. Maybe one brother has asked one comfort out here now and say, Pastor, what are you saying? Not you, it's a comfort. I'm on a comforter. You know, in all my life, he teaches leader of his spirit. I've been doing this for 28 years. I tried to run away from this part of being led. It comes back. Parole matters are eternal issues. The faithfulness of God. The comfort. After all, I'm doing well. After all, look at it. And you know, some churches don't used to celebrate it. Look at this brother. After he joined this church, he's been so well, so doing well. After he, and that's how you are thinking. Then you now have one that God has called you to. And the first few months is trouble. Pastor, is this the will of God? Why? Because if something is the will of God, there will be the peace. And there's in your heart. No, 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 that's a peace. I thought people say I'm married. 1 year, 2 years. There was a day like that. I spoke to 5 couples in 24 hours about divorce. I won't take it again. It's not going to happen. Relax. Sir, I did what you told us. I fed on the word. I did this. Oh, sir, he's not feeding on the word. I said, hey! Hey! I laugh at every guy. I say, go and listen to the teaching. Really, there is it. You just go and listen to somebody else. They'll say, now, do it now. I said, you know what? I'll just be praying for you. That's, you know, as long as I'll pray for you. Thank you, sir. That's, man, let me do what I want to do. And they have been hearing things from, you know, the world. So I was telling me, he said, my husband abuses me, tortures me. I said, eh? So I was like, he said, I'm saying emotionally. I said, explain it. He said, the way he talks, he says things that is not inspiring my vision. How? The way he talks, sir. He would tell me things like, I don't think it is possible. Why are you doing this? You are not organized. Sir, those things go into my... So that's abuse. I said, you could not have married me. So you're not organized. You're not organized. I don't like this. I don't like it. I said, let me tell you, even the fact that you believe, I believe you believe, that God has saved you eternally. Even you walk away from God because he will have abused you. The Holy Ghost will say, you fool. Say, whoa! I'm talking like that! You can abuse me emotionally! You are walking in the flesh! You are living like you're of the world! Holy Ghost, don't do that! It's not a better way to say the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is abusing me emotionally! Amen. So you have people across the world. You're not listening to God's Spirit that way now. You have been influenced. Social media influencers. That's how I started. Amen. That should be influenced. Now, does it mean, as you know, again, it's so interesting. You have to walk through the wilderness. You have to walk in the world. You have to engage in the things of this world. You have to. Someone told me, you're going to take a career in politics. He said, sir, I want to do that. So I said, yeah. He said, sir, you know, how do we now handle this one? I said, there's nowhere in the world, there's no politics. There's nowhere in the business world, in some churches. There's nowhere. I said, you'll just be a good example. So yes, sir, I know. And you pray. I'll be led by the Spirit. You can't run away from this world. You have to engage in this world. Engage. So you have to pass through the wilderness. But you are led by the Spirit. Temptation is part of our Christian walk. But you are led by, say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. That's the difference. You can't say, I love Jesus. You say, I'm not watching TV again. You just be talking like an idiot. They ask you, they say, so how many states do we have in Nigeria? You say, 70, Galilee of the nation. You say, how many tribes do we have in Nigeria? I say, 12. So what's wrong with you? When you see that the writers of scripture employed secular knowledge to write God's word, you now be looking. They be teaching God's word, you're looking. Except we speak in tongues. And then we don't say, you are blessed, you are blessed, you are blessed. So as a believer, you have to engage. You have to engage. You don't say, I'm not watching TV again for the rest of my life. I'm not doing this one. And you say, only I'll just watch Living World telecast. Do you understand? You have to engage. Yet be led by the Spirit of God. So, leading of the Spirit has its own contrasts and contrary facts. We'll take it up from there next week. Israel came out, and the first thing, they became impatient. Delay. Why is this not happening? Why is this? And then you jump into, and immediately they just got the golden calf. And they said, they know what they now said about the golden calf. We'll talk about this next week. They said, it was this calf that rescued us from Egypt. When you see people backslide, they will change their own stories. They will change it. Yeah. Well, you said this. That was what I thought. They now said a calf that they created right in their presence did what God did. Hallelujah. So I'm led by the Spirit of God. I listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray in tongues. Amen.